Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to John chapter 20? John chapter 20. I'm going to be in a few different passages this morning, but I want to read this before you're seated. John 20 and verse 30. Last Sunday of 2020. Amen. John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, meaning the ones that are written in this book, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your written word that's given to us that we might know your living word. And now we pray that the Spirit of God would use the word of God to do the work of God in our lives. May we have, as the psalmist said in Psalm 19, may we have a Bible revival. The word of God is perfect, reviving the soul. May each of us today, those who have been believers for a long time and those who perhaps are not even followers of Jesus yet, may we be revived. May our hearts be new, and may we have a longing for the Word of God like we never have before, that we might know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, live for Him, die for Him, and His life be glorified in ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know of anyone who the year 2020 has not been a roller coaster. Ups and downs of decisions, adjustments, unexpected changes. No one will ever think or speak of 2020 vision anymore. In fact, the year 2020 will be mentioned as the punchline of an ugly joke from now on. That's so 2020. As the year comes to an end, you should be more convinced than you have ever been in your lifetime that this life is painfully, woefully, tumultuously uncertain. Every day, a day of uncertainty. Who would have believed all this if you had been told on the last week of 2019? What a crazy life, how crazy life would be in 2020. For those of you who can, think back to September 11th, 2001, and how a number of things changed in our lives. But as I thought about it this week, this virus has placed everything everywhere on notice. And even with the greatest healthcare system in the history of the world and the most advanced technology that we have ever seen, it's not just that things have changed. Life as you know it has been slammed with an upheaval of uncertainty. Fear and confusion, distrust, and disruption. Every single area of life can now be characterized as uncertain, insecure, unpredictable, unsettled, unclear, unstable. Virtually every area of your life has been touched and affected in some way. Family, work, school, church, recreation, hobbies, events, groups, holidays, travel, business, communication, healthcare, finances, planning, stock market, media, social media, ministry, and even a massive American election. All of it rocked, changed, uncertain. So what's the prospect for 2021? I don't know how you're peering out and looking into the future, or what your expectations are in a few days when the calendar shifts. Is it going to be any different? The changing of to a new calendar on your wall or on your phone is not going to make any of the uncertainty go away. There's going to be decisions about a vaccine, about when life returns to, quote, normal, when to wear a mask, when to shake hands, when are we going to take down the blue tape? What happens to you in 2021 may be just as uncertain as it was this year. But I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to do one thing in 2021 that will change what happens in you regardless of what happens to you. And it sounds simple, but this is my challenge that I'm going to make an argument today, hopefully, that will convince you that if you do this one thing, then it won't matter what happens to you, because what's happening in you will sturdy your life, perhaps more than anything else. And here's the challenge. Read the Bible. I want to challenge you this year to read the Bible. It's a challenge for most of us. I don't want anyone in here, whether you are a senior adult or a senior in high school, whether you are a teenager or you are a teenager, I don't want anybody in here to walk out thinking that, oh, it's a whole lot easier for that person or those kind of people to read the Bible than it is for others. It is not. It's a challenge. But I want to challenge you. There is a reason why God revealed himself to us in a written word instead of a movie. He saw fit that the technology had not been invented at that point. And what has stayed forever has been the written word of God. 2021 is going to continue to bring massive, I would bet even catastrophic, uncertainty in our lives. But one thing will not change. There is one thing that will provide an unshakable foundation, the Bible, the Word of God, that plainly shows you God, if you read it and you look for Him. In Isaiah chapter 40, In verse 8, there's a very familiar passage, and then we're going to turn back to the passage I read to you earlier in Psalm 19. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says this, you know it, we'll start in verse 6. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The prophet saw what was going to happen to Israel in its future, and its future was catastrophic. Wave after wave of change. Psalm 19, again, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord is sure, it is certain, it is foundational, it is steadfast. Everything that seems to have come to life during this year feels like shifting sand, but God has given us a firm foundation in His Word. The question is, will you be in it? Will it be in you? I want to give you three reasons this morning. Three reasons you need to read the Bible in 2021, and then one how. Let's jump right into it. In John 20 and verse 30 and 31, we see that the Bible shows you how to be saved. It shows you how to be saved. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, we read it just a minute ago. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Bible is written, and John is speaking specifically about his letter, his book. The Gospel of John is written so that we might believe. So that we might believe. Why? Why must we believe? It's just this, because the world is broken. The world has been terribly crushed. Do you need any evidence? Should I roll anything out for you? Look at the last 12 months. Look at our lives from day to day. The Bible says that we are broken by sin. That the entire world has been affected by the fall. All of those areas of life that I mentioned to you that have been affected by COVID, all of those have been affected first by sin. By your sin, by my sin, by the fall of all of nature. We are broken because the tendency is a rebellion towards the ways and the means of God. From the garden through the flood, through the life of Israel, all the way to the manger, to the cross, to the resurrection, all of prophecy, all of it points to the fact that we are in need of being saved because we are broken, terribly, horribly, horrifically broken, unfixable, unmendable. In fact, the Bible in several places, Psalm 14, Isaiah 53, Romans 3, tells us that none are righteous, that none of us are good by nature. There's a survey that was done by Ligonier and Lifeway. It's done every 2 years. You'll hear me refer to it several times this morning, that one of the things that it revealed to us is that once again, nearly 50% of all Americans and evangelicals in the church, regular churchgoers, believe that people are basically good. You know why we believe that? Because only 30% of the people have ever read the Bible. Because the Bible nowhere tells us that we are basically good. It tells us that we're fallen, sinful, rebellious against God, and in desperate need of someone to come and rescue us. In fact, Romans 3 says, all of us have rebelled against God. The Bible says that it's appointed, in Hebrews it says it's appointed man once to die, then comes the judgment. In fact, all of us, you and me included, and every human being that's ever breathed, has tried to make all kinds of ways to get back to God, and we have all failed. So what do we do? Well, this is the good news. The good news is nothing. Because God has done something. As we've tried to make our way back to God, and we've horribly failed, and we see the residue, the fallout of that all across our world every single day, even in our lives, in our homes, moment by moment, our attempts to make ourselves right with God, God has come to us. God has come for us. And the Bible is God's revelation of His Son. The Bible shows you how to be saved. That same Lifeway Ligonier State of Theology Survey, if you want some real interesting reading, Google that. The State of Theology Survey says this: 1 in 3 churchgoers says, Jesus was a great teacher, but He was not God. That is churchgoers. Let me say that again. 1 out of every 3. So you just start counting. 1, 2, 3. And you could just go around in here and you could say theoretically that 1 in 3 regular churchgoers says that Jesus was a great teacher, but He was not God. Why would they say this? Because we do not read the Bible. We say we do, but the evidence shows us that we don't. By the way, let me say this. As I'm preaching this morning about the great need for us to return to the Bible, let me say, we don't worship the Bible. The Bible is not the fourth person in the Trinity. And it doesn't replace the Holy Spirit or God the Father or God the Son. But it is in the Bible that we learn of the Holy Spirit, that we see concepts like salvation and justification and redemption and propitiation and forgiveness and cleansing and hope and victory all through Jesus Christ and His sacrificial cross, where He became our sin for us. And the Bible teaches us so that we might become His righteousness before God. Why would people say that Jesus was a great teacher, but He was not God? Jesus asked Peter in the Bible, He asked Peter, who do people say that I am? Peter says, some say Elijah, some say the prophets. Yes, Peter, Jesus said in the Bible, you can read it for yourself, but who do you say that I am? This is why reading the scriptures is so important, why reading the Bible daily for Christians is so important, because it shows us exactly who Jesus is. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus in John 14:6 said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. As you read through the Gospels, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the living water. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The Old Testament proclaims the coming of the Messiah, that he would come. And he proclaims to us throughout the Old Testament exactly what it would look like. And then astonishingly, the New Testament describes Jesus exactly as the prophets had told us. It reveals that it is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the long-awaited Messiah. It's one sweeping narrative. You don't have one God in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. You have one sweeping narrative of creation, the fall, redemption, and a final consummation and restoration, because God has come to be with us. Why do we need to read the Bible? Well, first of all, let me say, the survey shows that only 32% of churchgoers claim to read a portion of the Bible daily. Only one-third, or let me say it this way, one-third of churchgoers never opens the Bible in a single month. One third. No wonder we don't know who he is. So why do we need to read the Bible? Why for those of us who do read the Bible, or you study the Bible, you try to have a daily devotion, why is it that it's important that we continue to read the Bible? Well, let me just say it this way. If you have come to know who this Messiah is, if you've come to know the salvation that Jesus brings, his incredible grace, his deep mercy, the wonderful hope, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and even begin to sense it in the fellowship among the saints when we join together, you will never, ever, ever, ever get over it. It's not like COVID. COVID has a recovery rate of like 99.7-something%. Jesus saves 100% of everyone who believes. None are turned away. I think we're a lot like John, the one who wrote this gospel. And you can just turn over on the next page if you're still at John 20. And verse 31, but turn over to John 20 and verse 8. I think we're a lot like John on this. Listen to what it says. This is after the resurrection, and he and Peter are in a foot race to make it back to the empty tomb. And it says, then the other disciple, and it's John. He just doesn't want to say, it was me, and I outran Slowpoke over there, Peter. You know why John outran, this is a side note. You know why John always outran Peter? Because Peter always had his foot stuck in his mouth. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Now look at the commentary from verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture. Oh, do you see this? I know you and I don't get to go to the tomb on that day and see that it's empty with everyone else. Most of us never been to Israel, to Jerusalem. So you say, well, they saw. Yes, but you get to see as well. Just like John said, for as of yet they did not understand the scripture. My friend, the reason why we need to read the Bible over and over again, even if you are already saved, is because you will see the risen Christ again and again and again. That's what he says in John 20, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Romans 10 tells us, right? Romans 10:17, Faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We need to read God's word because the Bible shows you how to be saved. But secondly, I want us to turn to another passage. I want us to turn to 1 John. That's in the back towards Revelation. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And I want you to see this morning that we need to read the Bible because the Bible shows you not only how to be saved, but how to be certain. The Bible also shows you how to be certain. Listen to what John says. Again, this time in his letter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe. He says, I'm writing to those of you who already claim that you know God, you love God, you understand that you're saved. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And the word that he uses there, know, is inferring a kind of confidence. How do I know that? Because of the next verse in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The Bible shows you how to be certain. This is important, to be certain, to know what you believe, or you will be paralyzed in your spiritual walk. And many of you are. In fact, I would tell you that in 30 years of ministry, I don't know that I've ever met a Christian who has told me there's never been a time in my life, except for one maybe I just baptized them that day, there's never been a time in my life where I haven't had doubts. Or there's never been a time when at least some point in my life that I've had some kind of doubt, some kind of uncertainty, some kind of questioning. The question arises for every believer I have ever known: assurance. Am I really saved? And you know, the statement that I get most often, that I've most often had as a pastor and when I was an army chaplain, was, I don't feel saved. Well, let me tell you this. I take blood pressure medicine. I have never felt my blood pressure medicine working. I never have. I've never felt it going through my veins and go, whoa, I can feel it. It's going to my heart right now. I've never felt it. But I do know that the doctor has prescribed it, and I have seen the effects of it when I put the cuff on and I hit the button. I've never seen the medicine work. I don't feel it working, but I know that it's working because of the effects that I see happen in my life. I don't feel gravity. Would one of you teenagers just walk right up here to the edge of the balcony so that we can see gravity? We don't necessarily feel gravity. If you didn't have gravity, you would feel it, right? But you do see the effects. Here's the truth. The reason why we need to read the Bible continuously, constantly, readily, steadily, every day in our life is so that you can know that you are saved. It's so that you can have assurance and you can know. Now I'm going to say this. Not like our brothers and sisters who are Catholic. They can't know. They don't know. And they'll tell you that they can't know. Why? Because the only time they're ever going to know is the moment they die, and they hope that their good works outweigh the bad stuff. Or they've got some time in purgatory to pay that off. You know why they believe that? It's not in the Bible. because they're reading something different. Please don't walk out saying, Brother Randy doesn't love Catholics and all that stuff. They don't believe the same things that you and I believe. It's why we need to read this book constantly, continuously. Because people, not only Catholics, but even what are called progressive Christians today, they use words that you and I use, like salvation and grace and faith and mercy. They use words like we use, and they do not mean the same thing. You know how I know? Just ask them. What do you mean by that? You can know. Listen, if you have been saved by Jesus Christ, you can know today. You can be certain that you are saved. You don't have to live paralyzed in your faith any longer. That was me in college. For about an entire semester, in between classes, I would come back to the mobile home that I lived in, and I would lay down on the carpet because I felt sick physically because I was not sure. I wasn't certain. But you can be certain. So what does John mean by this in 1 John 5:13? Well, when he says, I write these things to you who believe. What things does he write? Well, I don't have time to go through all of them, but if you just read all of 1 John, you'll see all. It is a book of assurance. In fact, the whole New Testament is a book of assurance to let you either know, A, that you are saved, or B, that you need to be saved. Listen, just a few verses out of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you confessed your sins and asked God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? You can know. You can know. Or chapter 2, verse 9. We're just going to walk through 1 John for just a minute. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Uh-oh. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. What's one of the ways that you can know that you are a Christian? Because you love being with the people of God. Look at same chapter, verse 28, 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Or 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the work of God, always. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You can know. You can know for certain. 1 John chapter 5, this will be the last one. Verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You want to know how you can know that you are saved? Are you doing what this book tells you to do? If you just simply say, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, well, how do you know? Because I prayed a prayer. Well, do you obey the things that God tells us in his word? Nah, I prayed the prayer, I'm fine. Whoa. You're not going to find any of that in 1 John. You can know for certain by reading the Word of God. How do we know His commands? To obey them through the Bible. Reading the Bible will either make you certain that you are saved, or it will bring conviction that you need to be saved. So, the Bible shows us how to be saved. It shows us how to be certain. And then finally, and I'll cut this one a little bit short, it shows us how to be sanctified, or how to be more like Christ. Turn back over into the Gospel of John. John 17:17. Most of you know this is one of my favorite verses. John 17:17 says this. This is a prayer that Jesus has prayed for all believers. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify means to cleanse, to make whole, to make us look more and more and more like Jesus. Why is it that we encourage the reading of the Bible? Why is it that I preach verse by verse through books of the Bible? Why is it that we're always saying something about the Bible, whether it's Awana's or it's in the choir or it's wherever we are? We're always at this church, we're always talking about the Bible. It's because the Bible will make you more like Jesus. It will make you more like Jesus. Turn back over just a few pages to John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, John 8:31, if, that's a conditional statement, if you abide or remain continuously, constantly walking through, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. And it will be the truth that sets you free. You see, one of the reasons why we need to continuously, constantly, day by day, read the Bible and desire to do the Bible is because it sets us free. The first Bible verse I ever memorized, 2 Peter 3:18. It's the very end of anything that Peter said to us. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We read the Bible to grow. 48%, the survey tells us, of Americans believe that the Bible is just a bunch of myths. Why? Why would they believe that? Because they have never read the Bible. Okay. Now, I just gave you three reasons why I think that we need to read the Bible. The Bible shows us how to be saved, it shows us how to be certain, and it shows us how to be sanctified. Okay? Now, let me very quickly just give you a how, okay? How do you do this? How do you read the Bible and really stick with it? The number one thing that I can tell you, I want to be real practical, and Scott's going to bring some stuff up here on the screen here in a minute. The number one thing that I want to tell you is to get a plan. Find a Bible reading plan. We have all kinds of Bible reading plans. We will have them back up on our website. I think they've fallen off. We will get them back on our website, but if you can't, you've got to find a Bible reading plan. Do not just close your eyes, lick your finger, and start there, okay? Find a plan. That's the number one thing I'm going to say to you. Now, here's a couple of plans that I want to show you. First of all, there's one at navigators.org, and I think Scott's going to bring it up here. There it is right there. All of these, if you go to navigators.org, all right, this is in their resources /reading Bible plans or Bible reading plans, I think. Go to this, and hey, Scott, if you'll just scroll that just a little bit right there, there's the Discipleship Journal Bible reading plan. Keep scrolling. a book at a time Bible reading plan. And there's the one that we used last year, the 5x5x5 Bible reading plan. That one's a great one. It says 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day, reading through the New Testament. All right? So there's one Bible reading plan. This is the one that I want to encourage you with this year. It's a new one to me, and I'm excited to go through it. My family has already started it, and we're going through it together. It's called the Bible Recap. It's at BibleRecap.com, okay? And there it is. And when you hit that start button, when that comes up, and Scott's already done that, if you'll scroll down there to where it says, here's how to join us. I know you can't see this by the video, but we'll get it to you. Here's how to join. Here's what this does. And for those of you who don't like to use technology, I printed off a plan for you, and they're right out there, okay? This is a 92-day plan of reading through the New Testament. Now, here's the catch. Each day, as you read through, you can go to a podcast. If you don't know how to do podcasts, ask your grandchildren or your teenager, okay? There is a podcast called the Bible Recap, and it correlates with the numbers that are up there. Hey, Scott, where it says New Testament, 3 months, click on that if you would. Up just a little bit, right there. Nope, not that one. Go back. My bad, brother. Go back to the right. There, that one, yes. Click on that. And maybe it won't let him. Okay, well, what happens is this comes up, okay? And there's a correlation in there. And when you go to the podcast, you go to the particular day that it signified, like on this one, it says NT1. You go to that day, and there's a lady, her name is Tara Lee Cobble. She has 365 of these podcasts. Most of them are anywhere from 8 minutes to 10 minutes. And what she does is she gives you the background, the context, and the meaning of that passage. And going through Leviticus, that's necessary. Right? Am I right? How nice is it to have somebody to tell you? And she's very orthodox. She's spot on, all right? So I want to encourage you to go to the Bible Recap. There is the New Testament plan. There's the entire Bible plan. And you just have to scroll through, use the podcast, correlate them up, and read that Bible. Now, I want to show you something that I want to suggest to you, is not only to read the Bible, but also I do this, I read the Bible, and I listen to it simultaneously. So I get out my actual Bible, a real Bible. This is not a Bible, this is a phone. I got one amen. This is a Bible, this is a phone. All right, I get out my real Bible, and I go on to either YouVersion or the ESV Bible app. And they both read the Bible for you out loud. And I read the Bible out of my real Bible, and
now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not.
I listened to it at 1.5 speed.
Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Huh? After this, Jesus revealed himself again.
Now, some of you would be like, I can't take the regular speed. I got to listen to it at 1.5. ESV Bible allows you to do that. Listen to the Bible and read the Bible at the same time. All right. Now, if you don't want to do Navigators or you don't want to do the Bible Recap, and I want to encourage as many people to do the Bible Recap because it's just fantastic. If you don't do that, then do something like buy a chronological Bible or buy a one-year Bible and just work your way through it and read it and listen to it at the same time. Use our tap method that we have described and that we have listed on our website and that we've taught. And then one more thing. Read with somebody. I don't mean literally with somebody physically in the room, but have somebody that you're accountable with that you can say, hey, did you do the Bible Recap today? You can post, text, whatever you do, and have some accountability. All right. Let me just say this in closing then. Let the greatest changes in your life not be what happened to you in 2020. Let the greatest changes in your life be what happens in you when you read God's word. So read it and do it. And the Spirit of God will use the word of God to do the work of God in your life and give you a stable, firm foundation, a house built on a rock in 2021, no matter if we get a COVID-19, a COVID-20, a COVID-21, or whatever. Let the word of God change your life. Let's pray together this morning. There's some of you that are in here today that you have read enough of the Bible now or seen it or heard it, enough of it now that you know that you're not saved. You've gone to church and you've done a bunch of church things, but you've never confessed your sin. You've never trusted Christ as the one who took your sin and paid your penalty, and today Jesus wants to save you. Today, our church staff would love to share with you how you can pray and receive Christ, how you can believe, how you can trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a moment, after our benediction, all of our staff is going to be standing out in this hallway to my right, to your left. And if you today, you know that you need to be saved. Do not leave 2020 without coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Today, there's a still small voice that's pulling in your heart saying, you need to be saved. That's what you need. You need to trust Jesus. Then in just a moment, I want to invite you, don't have to say anything to anybody, just meet us out in this hallway, and we want to share with you how you can know Christ. All you have to do is come to one of our pastors and say, I need to talk to somebody, and we would love to share with you how you can be saved. Or it may be that you believe that you're saved, but you're not certain, and you have struggled in your life. You have felt paralyzed in your spiritual walk, and sometimes it's even made you physically sick, and you know that you need to talk with somebody. You need to pray with somebody. I want you to come, as soon as we're done with the benediction, to come right over here, meet one of our pastors, and we would love to share with you how you can know for certain that you are saved. Or maybe today you say, I know those things, but I know I need to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want somebody to pray with me about reading through the Bible this year. I really want to do it this year. I want to make this the love of my life this year, to read God's word and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then I want to invite you after our benediction to meet me out in this hallway, and I want to share with you how you can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Errol Heights, let's have a great year this year spiritually with Jesus in our walk this year as we grow in the grace of God. Father, thank you for your word. We don't worship the Bible, God, but the Bible tells us who you are, and we truly worship you. We honor you because the Bible shows you as glorious, as other than us, as amazing, as wonderful, as full of grace and mercy and truth. God, we worship you because the Bible shows us just how wonderful you are. And now, God, I pray that if there's anyone here today who needs to be saved, I pray that you would draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit. If there are those who are struggling with uncertainty, God, today, I pray that you would give them confidence in faith. And God, if there are those today who know that this year they want to make it the prime objective of their life to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, today I pray that you would honor their desire. Now, God, walk with us. Be with us as we walk through 2021. God, be the Lord of our lives. Be the Lord of Arrow Heights Baptist Church, and may Jesus receive all honor and glory and power and majesty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite all of you to stand with me. As I want to give you a benediction today, I want to remind you that the copies of our Bible recap 1 year or 1 year through the New Testament plan is right here. You can also go on their website and get the full year plan or one of the others. Or you can email the church and we'll link you up with it if you're watching by video today. I think 2021 is going to be great. I think 2021 is going to be great. I know I'm committed to seeing Jesus more clearly than I've ever seen him before as I read through the Bible, and I hope that you'll join me this year. Now, here's our benediction for today, and it's just that passage I was quoting to you, 2 Peter 3:18. May we all grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And you are dismissed.